The Yellow Submarine. Yellow Submarine. The forces of good. The Beatles. The forces of evil. The Apple Bonkers. The terrible flying glove. The arch villain. The Blue Meanie.
You could pass for the originals.
Well, we are the originals.
It's a gal, and another gal, and we're both drinking, and we're back.
We're back.
Welcome to What Happens, everybody.
Welcome, everybody.
Each episode, Katrina and I discuss a movie both of us love. However, only one of us gets to say anything good about the movie, and they're the pro of the episode, which means the other is the con and must attack it. Our one rule is the con only has to attack during the synopsis. And if they say anything at all good about the movie during that time, they incur a penalty and will have to say something nice about a movie that they hate, which the pro gets to decide. So this week, if I catch a rule break from Katrina, we're going to hear this sound. We're back.
Hi.
Oh, we've missed you all.
Hi.
I hope that this goes okay.
Me too.
I've been having some Mac problems.
Return of the Mac. Oh my God.
What did I do to piss off Apple?
You've got some repair to do for what you've said about Steve Jobs.
Jesus Christ. I'm not 100% sure this is going to record all the way through.
Let's just give it a go.
It's like getting into the gook.
It's been so long that you didn't call me a slut in your intro.
No, I included me in it.
Yeah.
I should have said, it's a gal and another gal, and we're both drunk sluts.
Yeah.
That would have been better.
Rewind. We're a little tipsy.
What?
We just, you know.
Oh, I'm so excited to be recording again.
This is going to be epic.
Should we talk at all about where we've been? Why we haven't been recording?
Well, we've been sick.
Oh, my God.
We've had technical problems.
Mm-hmm.
On his laptop died.
Yeah, and it has all of the stuff for.
Yeah. That turns out not a good plan.
No, I have a lot of stuff on the cloud, but not everything was on the cloud. And it's really, that was not fun.
We went to Denver.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was good.
We went to Meow Wolf.
We went to Meow Wolf.
And to an Avalanche game, and Katrina bought the tickets. We were, I'm going to piss myself just saying it. We were like two rows, I was like 8 feet away from Jared Bednar, who's the coach, and like Nate McKinnon and Kyle McCarr. And I mean, it was so fucking incredible.
The new guy.
Oh, there was several, there was like four new guys.
Four new guys.
One of the guys had been, I can't remember his name. He had just gotten traded from the team they were playing against. So he was with them hours before he played against them.
Ooh, salty.
It's fucked up.
It was so much fun.
Hockey players, they're okay with that sort of thing.
I mean, I think professional athletes in general, they get traded all the time.
Yeah, they're fuck it. As long as it's not like bad blood, because there is a lot of that. Yeah.
We're such Chiefs fans. We're putting Taylor Swift songs in our
I was not.
Lingo.
I was not, actually, but I was just thinking about, I'm not going to bring any more hockey into it. That's fine. What do you want to talk about?
Okay, so today at the grocery store, when I went to get the correct kind of toilet paper and paper towels for the house.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. That bitch Tiffany was singing her version of I Think We're Alone Now.
Mm-hmm.
And I started singing it to myself.
Oh, no.
And then I was instantly pissed off. Like I was cheating on myself.
Oh, because of Jonathan Knight?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Do you think you don't think this time to like let that go? Or
what do you mean?
Okay, all right. You're right.
She was such a bad girlfriend to him that he was like, I think I'm going to date dudes.
Just out of curiosity, that's not how that works.
I'm telling you, that's how bad she was as a girlfriend.
Weren't they like teenagers?
She ruined our chance of eternal happiness together. And I get that I'm happily married now, and he's happily married.
You're not talking about your husband. You're talking about Jonathan.
Oh, no, I'm talking about Ty. He's miserable. I'm the worst.
He is definitely not. He's so happy.
It was our chance to be together, and she was literally the only thing.
She's the only thing.
Yes.
That was roadblocking.
Yes.
Wow.
He was famous. I wasn't. He was an adult. I was a teenager. I lived in Arkansas. He's from Boston. He's gay. I'm straight. But yes, that bitch Tiffany ruined everything.
Okay. Well, that sounds like something you need to talk with your therapist about.
I said almost out loud, stop it, to myself today at the grocery store. Stop it.
It's like me, like, telling me a winner if I'm going to fit in this shirt, you fat ass. Nope.
Oh, you know what else we've been doing during our recording hiatus?
Eating and drinking.
Eating, yes.
Eating and drinking.
Yeah.
Quite a lot.
But here's what happened. So I don't live in Lawrence where Anna lives, but I come back here every other week. And what Anna did was she made a room for us here, the guest suite. And this bitch put a TV in here. So then what Anna and I started doing during our hiatus, it was the best idea ever. Anna and I would lay in bed and watch TV.
Above the covers. It's not weird.
It's not weird. Gross.
I don't know. I just want to, you know.
No. But tell them what we would watch.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So at some point, I kind of got into a kick of watching like old game shows.
Yeah.
So I told Katrina, I'm like, do you remember the old Wheel of Fortune?
Oh, my God.
You know, back when they actually had to like, they didn't get to just take money home that they won. They had to spend it there on shit.
Yeah.
On bull crap.
On bull crap.
In a revolving.
Yes.
Like, here's our bull crap displays.
Right.
Like, I guess I'll take the skis for $200.
The person that got the skis, you know, has never skied a day in their life.
Not
like me.
Once.
They look like me.
Not once. Not I guess once. I'll take the dinette set.
The dinette set was real popular.
Oh, yeah. So that's what we've been watching is old Wheel of Fortune and actually some of the Gong Show, which I'm obsessed with because they're all on YouTube. But Wheel of Fortune is really where it's at.
Yeah, it is.
And it turns out, I don't know if everybody else out there knows this, but we definitely did not.
This wasn't our fault.
The category was person.
Person.
And it wasn't just us. The none of the contestants got it either. And most of the puzzle was solved.
Right. Except for one letter.
Well, it wasn't. I mean, there was like a letter missing from, I think there was a couple. Because I don't think they had O.
Well, there's three words.
Yeah.
And there was a letter missing from two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Easily to solve. You know, you can solve that from any other puzzle.
And it was.
Turns out Ho Chi Minh is a person.
No, it was three letters because H was missing.
Right.
And that really fucked us up.
Right.
We just could not get it.
I thought it was just a trail.
I thought it was just a city.
We're like, what? Okay, so also we would get a little tipsy while we would watch Wheel of Fortune.
We were dying.
We were like, we're the dumbest.
But we're not because those three contestants didn't get it either. Yeah. But I can't imagine they were like, Ho Chi Minh's a person?
But that's what we were like because we were being honest with ourselves.
And you, because we're honest with our listeners. Yeah,
you need to know who you're dealing with. Some dumb bitches.
I hope you all missed us because we missed you.
Oh my gosh. This feels correct.
Oh my God. The amount of notes that we've taken that have gotten lost on my back. You know what?
It's just, we don't need to think about it. We're not there anymore.
Yeah.
Where are we?
I feel like we did Eddie Murphy a little bit dirty.
We did.
For February. But it's just...
We're going to make it up to him, though.
Yes, we will.
Yeah.
And all of you.
Yeah.
For sure. But today...
If we were going to sail into this episode on a vessel, what would it be?
Well, is it any particular color?
It has to be yellow.
It has to be yellow.
Right. And it has to sound like a sandwich.
Oh, well, then it's Yellow Submarine.
Yes.
It's got to be 1968's Yellow Submarine.
This movie.
Make your feet.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, her little feet are kicking away down there.
I'm so fucking excited.
We watched this movie so much when we were kids.
Y'all don't know. Seriously. You watch it. I can quote it from start to finish. No joke. My daughter, Maddie, she was 16, was watching it with us. And I just, every once in a while, during super trippy shit, I was like, again, this was my favorite movie when I was a child. I loved it. I loved it. Still do.
I watched this 4 times to take my notes. And I have very little. I somehow have a lot of questions and still very little notes. Because you get kind of lost in it. It's so crazy.
It is crazy. It is just visually busy.
Yeah.
It's filled. It's like Meow Wolf that we just went to. It really is. It's like Meow Wolf if it was a cartoon and about the Beatles.
That's so accurate.
Right?
Whoa.
Lots of trippy shit. It's like your eyes are everywhere.
It's kind of endless.
Yeah. Nuh-uh. It's an hour and a half. It's easy.
It feels like 12 hours.
No.
Maybe the first time because, well, never mind.
I love this movie. I love it, love it, love it.
Well, can you guess who's the pro?
Speaking of Mac problems.
Whoa.
All of my trivia is on my other Mac that I had to buy because it's complicated, but
it ain't complicated, bitch. You forgot your password.
I bought a whole new Mac, had notes, and then forgot my password for it. I'm locked out of it as of this moment. I think I have to wait another 2 hours before I can try the password again.
Good Lord.
I even wrote down the password, and apparently that is not correct. Doesn't matter. The point is, I know quite a bit about this, but I'm going off of memory for my notes because it was all on, or the trivia because it was all on the other one.
And we had trace shots.
Did we only have 3?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
They're little.
I don't feel drunk.
I'm fine.
Mm-mm. Wait,
Oh, mm-hmm.
Oh, can I say what else you did today? You made a leprechaun trap with my kid.
Oh,
with my son.
Every year with Maddie and Finn, well, when Maddie believed in it, but now Finn, the night before St. Patrick's Day, we would make a leprechaun trap.
A what?
A leprechaun trap. And we would do various things, but I would always make cupcakes. And so this year I told Finn that I read on the internet that they like cookies.
Because... I didn't want to make cupcakes.
I didn't want to make cupcakes. Got to record, man.
Jesus Christ, we got so much going on.
Yeah, come on. Give me a break. So I'll take pictures of the leprechaun trap.
Oh, I hope you do.
I will.
It's sitting on my pool table.
Yeah.
Because it's the only thing that was green.
Like, oh, this is definitely where he'll go. Bitch loves green.
Yeah. And pool. And everybody knows that leprechauns love playing pool.
I can tell Finn that I read something on the internet and it is instantly a fact to him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a flat earther, I found out. My 9-year-old believes in, is a flat earther. He's like, of course, you know, because a lot of people don't know that the earth is actually flat. It's like, oh, honey. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Where do we start?
YouTube is not good for kids.
My goal is to keep him far, far away from Andrew Tate.
Oh, gross.
Because a lot of young guys... Young kids, they like it.
He got arrested. I think he just got arrested again.
Again?
Yes.
What, did he get more girls?
He's gross, dude. Oh, let's not ruin it. Do you have pre-synopsis trivia?
I do.
Oh, okay, I'm going to sit back.
So, Yellow Submarine, like I said, came out in 1968. It is directed by George Dunning. I can't tell you what else he really did because, again, my notes are elsewhere.
That name sounds like cow poop.
George Dunning? Oh, yeah, it kind of does. Okay. You don't have to say anything negative yet. You're like, oh, no, I don't have to.
Just feeding off your energy, Stevie.
They wanted to do... Okay, well, I believe the Beatles had a contract with, I want to say United Artists, that they had to make, I believe, 3 movies. They were contractually obligated. And they had already done Help, maybe A Hard Day's Night for, I can't remember if that was part of that package or whatever. But they needed one more. The guys were going, I'll tell you here in a second, but they were not excited to do this at all. Because there had already been a cartoon. It's like a Beatles cartoon that they hated. They were like, this is a ripoff. It's just, it's lame. So they weren't super excited about this. George Dunning. Oh, and I'll have to like see if I can find the producer and all of that. They wanted to do something different. They specifically wanted to do something more appropriate for the time, which was psychedelia. I mean, there was a lot of like, you know, that first of all, one, they wanted to kind of show that music could change the world because that was definitely the vibe going on in the late 60s. There was a lot going on in the late 60s.
Right.
We put a man on the moon in 69. I mean, like there was big shit happening in the late 60s.
Ty was born in 60.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hey. How about that?
So there you go.
Well, they wanted to do something different. Specifically, they didn't want to do anything close to Disney. I think they might have had some like kind of icky feelings about them, which is why a lot of the blue meanies in this, who are the baddies, are wearing things that are clearly Mickey Mouse ears.
That's not right. You can't do the mouse dirty like that.
Yes, you can. Oh, speaking of, we've talked about, you know, being sued by Disney and all that kind of stuff. And it's ha, ha, ha. But we can't do any songs. We can't even sing the songs for the Beatles.
Come on.
They are super litigious. We are not getting sued by the Beatles. That would break my heart.
Help me.
Help.
Help.
Help me.
No one recognizes any songs we sing.
Oh, I just sang a fucking Beatles song. God, I know, damn it.
That was a trick. I trapped you.
We're going to get sued together. This is our thing.
We'll be so popular. I'm going to wear my Split Happen shirt every day of the trial.
I'm just going to say Drunk Ho over there. I'm with Drunk Ho. So I believe that they said they would do the cartoon as like next. They definitely sold it to the producers like, yeah, we'll just do it like an extension of the TV cartoon or whatever. And they had no intentions of doing that. They wanted it to be different. You will notice in this.
Not a one damn thing is normal in this movie.
No. Well, they wanted, not only did they want to work with kind of the psychedelia of the times, they also wanted to pay homage to a ton of artists. And they, like actual artists, you know, not musical artists, like painting artists and visual arts and stuff like that. So there are a lot of references to famous art pieces. The Thinker is actually tucked back in a scene. Toulouse-Lautrec.
Yep.
He shows up a little bit. The baddies throw down green apples, which is specifically because of the Beatles apple, which was based off of that art piece that has the guy with the derby hat and right. The green apple just in his face.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. Even where it's just a picture, but then the hair is all kind of funky. There was a famous Bob Dylan picture that was basically that. They wanted to pay homage to that. That's what they felt like what was significant. They thought that the Beatles would like that. The Beatles weren't super thrilled about doing this, like I said. And they, you know, they didn't really want to be a part of it. But again, they were obligated to do it. But here's the thing. Even if they wanted to, they would not have had time.
I think there was a female artist named Limpka, or I'm saying it wrong, but there's definitely some of her work in there also.
They're really, I mean, it's kind of, if you're an artsy, fartsy kind of person, it would probably be fun to try and pick out all the different styles.
Yeah.
So I said they didn't really have a ton of time because they had promised they were going to go off of kind of, they were selling this as the extension off of the TV cartoon. They had a very, very, very tiny budget. I've heard under $1 million to anywhere down to $250,000.
Holy shit.
Right. Because there just wasn't a lot of money. And they needed to have it done in a year.
Oh my God.
Right. Let me give you a little bit of a timeline to show you why the Beatles could not do this.
Mm-hmm.
The film was greenlit in June of 1967. Okay. It was released, it was premiered August of 68. So just over a year between when it was greenlit and it was released. In that time, here's the things that were going on with the Beatles. Like I said, in June of 67, a few weeks after that was the release of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album. They sang the All You Need Is Love to the record audience of 400 million people. You know, it was a big, big deal because it was the first worldwide, wide satellite TV production.
Mm-hmm.
They produced the film and album of Magical Mystery Tour, which is crazy. Their manager, Brian Epstein, died. John met Yoko. Paul met Linda. Apple Corporation was created. It was founded. The group made the trip to India to study with the yoga, the Maharishi. No, is that right?
Maharishi.
And they'd already started recording the double album, the White Album. So that was all going on in that short period.
Mm-hmm.
Huge, huge, huge. The Beatles, a lot of the things that we know about them happened in a very short time. I can't imagine when they would have had time to go and record voices for the cartoon. John insisted quite a few times that some of the characters and things were his ideas, and he felt like, I think he even tried to take credit for the Blue Meanies, and it's just not going to happen. I mean, it's pretty clear where that came from, and I'll get into that. But they just didn't, they had, so anyway, so they showed up at the very end of the movie.
And just we'll get to that.
Well, they just did a very brief, like, and they didn't even look, that's the thing, is they had, their appearances had changed so much from during that time, that 1 year. They didn't even look like they did in the beginning of 67. They went through a lot. The Beatles, I think people think of the Beatles being like spanning decades and that sort of thing. That is not the case at all. They were not a band for that long.
No.
They just couldn't. And I think this was around that same time that they were trying to like
Do other things.
And then they were trying to branch out, but also they were trying to kind of hold it together. But if anybody has seen the documentary that came out that was so fucking cool that Peter Jackson put out.
Yeah, on Disney.
Yes. That's a pretty clear indication of how things were going with the Beatles at the time. That was at this time.
Crazy.
So there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot. The animators, to my knowledge, they had started working on this before there was a script, before there was any kind of real structure to the movie itself. I think they were still adding and editing things up until the very end. So because of that, they were just animating. They're like, well, we're just going to animate to the different songs and then just kind of hope you guys can make it work. So they just were animating, you know, like coming up with stuff. And that's why the movie kind of maybe feels a little like just like a bunch of like little vignettes or music videos almost.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of pieced together. That's why. Considering the budget, the time constraint, all the stuff going on with the Beatles, I'm surprised it got made.
Yeah.
It didn't do great when it was released.
Really?
Well, they didn't know how to sell it. Was this for adults? Not really. Was it for kids?
Uh-uh. Even though I have some I have some questions about that.
Again, this is my favorite movie, but it just wasn't, I think they were trying to get at adults, but it just wasn't going to happen. So it didn't do great initially, but it had a massive cult following. It did great, I think, once it went overseas and, you know, people started watching it more.
Holy shit.
What?
You know what just occurred to me?
What?
We love so many movies that didn't do well at the box office but got a cult following. Uh-huh. Are we in a cult?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Holy shit.
I have to tell you, I cannot think of cults without thinking of The Office.
Oh.
Thinking of Creed.
I've been involved in a number of cults, both as a leader and a follower. You have more fun as a follower, but you make more money as a leader.
We might be in a cult. Oh, oh God.
Fuck.
Oh, no. They say you never know until you're in it.
I am so judgy of those people.
Well, yeah, of course.
One thing we failed to bring up is that this is our first movie of our March movies. Can you explain how this is a St. Patrick's Day movie?
Well, St. Patrick's is green.
Right.
Well, there's blue meanies.
Right.
And with a yellow submarine.
Ah. Right. Irish film.
It's practically Irish.
Makes perfect sense.
Makes sense to me.
The sub sandwich, I believe, started in Ireland.
Did it?
Nope.
Nope. Nope.
Seems like it'd been like Maine or something.
Nope. Lies. Philly. Upon lies.
Maybe Philly. That's a cheesesteak.
You think it was created in the U.S.?
The sub sandwich?
Yeah.
That's some fucking American stuff right there. Yeah. We're going to pile a bunch of meat and cheese on bread.
It's not deep fried.
Oh, GP.
Well, it wasn't then. I mean, I'm sure somebody's done that now.
In Iowa. That fucking fair everyone goes to where they fry butter.
Have you seen the SNL? We watch it at work all the time because we love it. The SNL skit is Taco Town.
Yes.
Just keep it. We're not done. We're not. Then we deep fry it and put it in one of our signature bags filled with chili. I'm going to do my best with the trivia here and there.
I won't know.
Well, I've said it before, and I'm going to continue saying it. Believe the trivia at your own discretion.
We can't be trusted.
Good God, we're doing our best.
We weren't even sure how many shots we did, and that was 30 minutes ago.
Was it really? Oh, yeah, it actually was. Oh, fuck. I say we just go ahead and get in.
Let's do it. Just play. I was going to try to say play the fucking song in an Irish accent, but I realized that's not my jam.
No, I'm not going to do that either.
No. So just play the fucking song.
You got it.
Let the games begin.
Our movie begins?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Did we not have a movie that begins?
This one. Yep. This movie starts with no warning. It just gets right into it.
Yeah. It's like Mad Max Fury Road.
It's no. They knew what they were talking about. The narrator isn't even sure if it's once or twice upon a time. So how am I supposed to trust anything he says?
I love how it starts. I don't know why I didn't quite get it as a kid, but it's just so great. The once upon a time. Or maybe twice.
See? Ambiguity from the start.
There was an unworldly paradise called Pepperland. It lay or lie. I'm not too sure. I appreciate a grammatical quandary.
There's just no fucking way I'm not going to get a button push. I'm already starting to sweat. Keep going.
I want you to tell me that the word quandary is awesome.
No, oh, wait.
That's not movie. That's...
Don't you suck me in with my love of words.
No, we'll get into sucking later.
Oh, trust. I got that in my notes.
Of course you do. Yes, the movie starts right away. You're welcome. Didn't you say you didn't like when the movie was like, oh my God, it's like 3 pages of introduction.
That's when I was doing Spaceballs.
There's a bunch of movies you did that with. You did it with Legend. I remember you being quite fussy about how wordy it was.
Fussy? How dare you? And guess what, bitch? I don't like being the con.
Neither do I.
Why do we do this?
Well, after that introduction, which is awesome, we open with Pepperland. And our antagonists, the Blue Meanies.
One of the cartoons looks like Wilford Brimley.
Does he really?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Nothing about diabetes. Nothing about oatmeal.
Nothing about your blood pressure.
Nothing about your blood pressure. These people don't care about your heart health. Well, wait. Oh. Hold up. Because it's been a while. Speaking of Wilford.
This better not be an accent.
Come on.
God damn it.
I want you to do Wilford Brimley, but if he was from Liverpool. Come on. Do it. What would he say?
Okay. Okay. I just got to loosen up. It's been a second.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, Wilford Brimley.
Right, help me.
Grumpy for some reason.
I was in Cocoon.
Cocoon, damn it. I'm as old as Paul Rudd. Everybody knows it. Okay, and then Liverpool.
Liverpool.
Liverpool. Wait.
We just watched this fucking movie, man.
I don't know. Check your blood sugar. Check it often.
Wait, hold on. I can do better. Think. I can't think of Liverpool. How can I not think of, like, figure out the Liverpool accent?
Isn't it kind of cockney?
Yeah.
Like, what was that orphan that wanted more?
Oliver?
Yeah.
I think that's cockney. That's not Liverpool, though.
Yeah, says you.
Liverpool.
Wait, oh. I just got to think of how the Beatles sound, right?
No, think of Spinal Tap.
Are they from Liverpool?
Sure.
Oh. Check your blood sugar. Check it open. I'm terrible at this.
I don't know. What do you want to do?
I don't know. Check your blood sugar. Check it open.
Yes.
You're welcome, but everyone.
Speaking of those meanies, there's a whole lot of penis noses.
There were quite a few, yes. A lot of penis noses. I guess the main two meanies. I can't remember what the main ones.
Fred and George.
Nope.
Bill.
Nope.
And Molly.
No. Neither.
Boris.
Uh-huh.
And Mary.
Ooh, gosh. I mean, you're getting closer, but you're still wrong.
Beanie Meanie.
Well, the little one's Max.
Ugh. Max, get me my cloak.
I can't remember what the main one is. We're just going to call him
Boris.
Head Meanie. He's, well.
That's hysterical, actually.
They were based off of, oh gosh, I don't know if it was the producers. Somebody that they definitely didn't care for too much.
Oh, really?
Right. And who were predominantly of the Jewish persuasion.
Oh my God, that's a con. So they were making fun of Jewish people? This movie is the worst.
Well, there is a joke later on in the movie about being bluish. You don't look bluish. I mean,
trust and believe. I caught that.
I mean, you don't look Jewish, I think was kind of a joke at the time, but also this was kind of a little bit of a dig at them, for sure.
Were there stomach sharks?
There were. Yeah. Do you want me to give you a rundown of the meanie troops?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here they are as follows. The Bonkers. Actually, I love it because he's telling Max, we don't say, we meanies don't take yes for an answer. He's like, yeah, only answer in no. So he says, the Bonkers.
No.
The Clowns. The Snapping Turks. That's the ones you're talking about. The
Stomach Sharks.
Yeah, Snapping Turks. They were Turks. Get it? Not turtles. The anti-music missiles, which I had to spell 15 times.
Missiles? Is it two S's and two L's?
There's actually three S's in missiles.
What? But you know what I mean.
And only one L.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then, of course, the dreadful flying glove.
Everyone freaks the fuck out, same. The stockings on the blue meanies, mm-hmm. you know what they look like.
My wardrobe?
Juicy fruit gum.
Oh.
Right? That zebra gum?
Yeah.
The zebra Boy. Gum.
Is there ever been a candy that's so immediately awesome and then 2 seconds later, dead?
Yeah, it's like this movie.
You know that ain't true.
Yeah, it's true.
I can see it in your face. Do you know what this gets on Rotten Tomatoes?
27%.
It's like 97.
That's... Mm-hmm. It's a con that you're pointing out that I can't math.
You know you can't math. That's not a con. That's just facts.
Bitch. The blueies are agents of chaos.
Definitely.
And I don't appreciate my favorite color, just in case anyone wants to know, being used as something of evil.
Well, that's also my favorite color. And I actually have in my notes, hey, Katrina's favorite color is blue. You should love these guys.
I don't.
You do.
They're baddies.
You loved Max when we were kids.
No.
You used to quote. I'll get to that too.
No, I don't remember that. It's a blur.
The meanies are coming at Pepperland hard.
Get the fuck out of here with Pepperland.
They are coming hard. They are bonking people with green apples left and right and making everybody gray.
Well, someone should have bonked them with some charcoal toothpaste.
What? Oh, because their teeth is yellow? Were people brushing with charcoal then?
These are my notes.
Okay. I understand. You got to do what you can.
Why do things turn gray when they're blown up? That doesn't make any sense.
This one's blown up. They get the meanie touch. And then that's taking all the color out of the world. There was a big thing about that when the Beatles appeared on that worldwide wide thing that I talked about earlier, the All You Need Is Love. A lot of people likened it to the Wizard of Oz, that they felt like, you know, it was a really, really big point.
They stole.
Man, people, the Beatles.
Stole from the Wizard of Oz.
Probably. They stole left and right. Don't sue me.
Do we get any backstory on who hurt the HMIC?
We don't. Hopefully we'll get... Oh my God, I can't believe I forgot to tell you. There was like a remake in works.
What?
I mean, it might still be in the works. Not live action. What's the Polar Express and like all of those, like that type of...
Oh, okay.
CGI.
Yeah.
There's like a CGI version of this that they were going to do. Yeah.
Well, if I had to bet, I would say it was Ringo.
Well, he's one of the only ones alive, so.
The one that hurt the HMIC.
Oh, Ringo. Ringo wouldn't do that.
Really? You don't think he sang? And then the HMIC was like,
okay.
I will kill everyone.
Okay. He has been very upfront about it, that he can't sing. It's in a song. I'll try not to sing out of tune. That's what he says.
Fail.
There really is like a CGI version that they were having a hard time. I think it's Robert Zemeckis maybe might have been with
what?
It.
What? Shut up. Please.
Please. Did he do the Polar Express? I think he might have done that bullshit.
No.
Well, what's funny is this would be attached to Disney. I think actually the Beatles did. I think the Beatles are part of the Disney franchise now. Maybe.
All I know about Disney is the Chiefs just won the Super Bowl again and they were going to Disneyland.
I can't remember the voice. I remember one of the voices for sure is Peter Sefrowitz. I can never remember his name, but he's Pete in Shaun of the Dead, and he's the voice of Darth Maul. He's been in tons of stuff.
Yeah, get that out there. The voices of the Beatles are not the actual Beatles.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. They just couldn't. So these were voiceover actors. Just regular voiceover actors, which blew my I think it's blown everybody's mind when they find that out. Everybody just assumed because these guys are so good.
Some might say that they were betrayed.
No, I don't think so.
I was betrayed.
Can I tell you one of the other voices?
Sure.
Carrie Ilves.
Shut up.
I'm serious.
Get the fuck out of here, liar.
Did you see the... No, that's absolutely true. I can't... It actually... You can... I think Peter... is John. And I
think Cary Elwes was going to be playing George. I'm pretty sure.
What?
And what's the band that's the
Foreigner?
No,
Boston.
Nope. Nope.
Kansas?
Nope. Why are you doing this?
Color Me Bad.
Again, it's no. That's a no. Color Me Bad? Really? No. The cover band, the Beatles cover band, the Fab Four.
Well, it should be the Fab Five because.
Because why?
Because there were five and.
Were there?
Yeah.
Who was the fifth?
Bob.
Bob.
Bob? Bob? Marley.
Bob Marley?
Yep.
Bob Marley.
Yep. He was the fifth.
Do you remember the skit on SNL speaking of Eddie Murphy?
Yes.
Man. Oh, I love it. Okay, so enough about the CGI thing. You can find out tons of information about it. It definitely is. It's not hidden. We see in Pepperland, as all this shit is going down, and shit is going down, we see a white-haired, bearded guy named Young Fred, and he is being chased by the dreadful Flying Glove. I feel like you had something to say about that.
No.
Oh, really?
Nope. I do want to talk about that old fellow with the cello having shamrocks on his cape. That's why this is a St. Patrick's Day movie.
Oh, okay. Well, oh, yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, Young Fred is Pepperland's only hope. And Lord Mayor, that's who you're talking about. Lord Mayor. He was in a bit of denial about the attack.
And what happens to him?
He gets bonked.
By a bushel of apples.
Yeah, he does.
Then millions of children, I read an article, millions of children after this refused to eat apples.
Where'd you read that?
Star.
So we know it's true.
Yeah, they report on aliens all the time. Jesus Christ. Where do you get your info from?
Doesn't Rupert Murdoch have something to do with
this? Oh, stop it. Don't ruin my day.
It was Gossip Mags. Eventually, Lord Mayor does, you know, come around to the fact that they are being attacked. And he instructs young Fred to take the yellow submarine that is sitting on top of a pyramid. And then after our title song.
Nope.
What?
I in no way, and I mean this, this is one of three legitimate things I have to say. Mm-hmm. I in no way like the camera angle that they use when they finally get into the opening credits.
Well, I can see that. It is very Lost Boys, you know, flying over the water bullshit. I can see that. But it's showing how far away how crazy this journey is that young Fred has to take.
Might I ask a question?
No.
Who sings the title song?
Ringo. Mm-hmm. He sang Yellow Submarine.
Does anyone actually know what the song's about?
Drugs.
And this is a children's movie?
Yeah. It was the 60s.
That's a con.
Well, take it up with the boomers.
And I think they stole the sunrise from Lady Hawk.
Excuse me?
Yep.
Bold take. That's a hot take.
Yeah, Reddit and Star.
They had...
They took a time machine to the 80s. Because like... This is the decade that's going to release the best movies, so we need to steal shit from this decade.
You know what's funny?
You can see it now, right? That sunrise?
No.
Just like Lady Hawk.
So Lady Hawk. Okay, well, speaking of ripping off. Okay, so did you happen to notice that the animation style looks like another animation style that we've seen a bunch?
Like South Park?
Monty Python?
Oh, dude. Serious.
Which came out after this movie.
I told you, 3 minutes ago, I talked about the time machine. They're thieves. Thieves in the night. And then there's this noise.
Wait, okay. So the submarine ends up, okay. After the title song and
sung by Ringo.
Sung by Ringo, yes. They gave him a chance a few times to sing his bullshit songs. Octopus's Garden, and Yellow Submarine, whatever horse shit he was, you know. Hey, guys. I got an idea for a song. Oh, there it is.
Check your blood sugar.
Check it open.
Oh, shit. I don't have it.
No, well, it's good. It's good.
Well, occasionally they let him sing a song, and they did their best to make it good. And, you know, he's a very good drummer, I think. I liked Ringo. I liked Ringo a whole lot when I was a kid, and so did Maddie.
Okay, never mind.
After the title song, we do see a sunrise.
From Lady Hawk. It's
very, very cool. It's like this, like, you know, you see this cityscape, like the top of all the buildings and everything, and then the, you know,
yeah,
steam coming up.
Night without a day, day without a night.
No, just a day, just a normal day. And we get an amazing song, Eleanor Rigby.
Did she consent?
To what?
To be in the song.
You think Eleanor Rigby's a real person?
Yes. Reddit and us.
Star.
And poor fucking Father McKenzie took the time to write a whole ass sermon and no one listened to it.
Nobody came. No one was saved. Yeah. It's sad. It is a beautiful fucking song. I know you love it. In fact, I know it's your favorite Beatles song. How'd you feel about it being in this movie?
I had questions.
Such as?
What happened to Father McKenzie? Did anyone ever listen to his sermon?
No. No one was saved.
Oh, see? And
all
now
the lonely people.
Okay, and now here we are. So, thank you, Beatles. It's your fault.
It was your fault. How could it possibly be their fault?
They wrote it.
Also, Father McKenzie's not a real person.
Says you.
Yeah, definitely says me. Paul and John, they did that all the time. They made up stuff left and right. Unless they were just stealing.
We would like to apologize to the McKenzie family. This song also ends with a butterfly man. Is there literally anything in this movie that isn't fucking crazy?
No.
No.
No. No, buckle the fuck up. It's great. I love it. And it is a really good example of how the animation style will be throughout.
Okay.
It's a lot of, I mean, they use techniques that had never been used. Rotoscope and, you know, other things. The submarine ends up in Liverpool. Huh. And the first person the sub sees is Ringo. Mm-hmm. And he's feeling a little bit in the doldrums.
This is where he makes a suicide joke?
I don't remember.
Oh, you don't?
Mm-mm.
I'm sorry. Anna, ooh. Is there a movie that could... is there a person alive that could quote this movie more than you?
Oh, yeah. He said he was going to throw himself in the roof.
But Tim's, it's raining.
But yeah, it looks like it's going to rain. Yeah, he feels like an old... He feels like an old splintered drumstick. I think it's an old battered drumstick. I think it's old battered at that point. He says splintered later. Anyway.
Are we at the part of this kid's movie where the cop just says pussy a whole bunch?
Oh my God. There's never been a point in my life that I didn't giggle like an idiot every single time that comes on.
That cop has the most molesty eyebrows I have ever seen.
Yeah.
And I watch a lot of true crime documentaries.
That's true.
We just watched... What was that docuseries we watched on Netflix?
Why are you making it so pointing towards me like I did something wrong?
What was that? It was like they were stalkers. Like, I'm a stalker. Is that what it was called?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yee.
Yee.
Yeah.
Just keep those coming. We will never, that well never runs dry of us being into docuseries about psychos.
Well, also speaking of that cop, is anyone surprised the pussy ignored him?
I don't like that you're saying it over and over, but it made me laugh when the cop does. Puss, puss. Puss, puss, puss.
Pussy.
Yeah, pussy.
You're pussy.
Oh, pussy.
Why are you running away as usual?
Ringo asked him, would you believe me if I said the yellow submarine was following me? And he just goes, no.
No.
No, I would not. You're pussy. You're puss, puss. Young Fred finds Ringo. It's Ringo Starr, of course. And he is in a he lives in a peculiar sort of living place.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a really great scene in there with like a corridor of doors in the hallway.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
What now?
Anna, could you please tell me what HELP stands for in this kid's movie?
Sure. According to Young Fred, H is for hurry.
Mm-hmm.
E is for urgent.
Oh, is that how we spell urgent?
L is for love me and P is for please. Won't you please, please help me?
Mm-hmm.
I can't sing the song.
Help.
Nope. Can't do it. Not even that. That's how this urgent is spelled that way. It was in the 60s. For just a short amount of time, they thought that it was going to be cute.
Lies.
What? Nuh-uh.
What the fuck kind of Tim Burton fever dream is that mansion?
Ah, it's crazy. It's crazy yeah. Cool.
Crazy.
Shit isn't everywhere. The hallway, the like classic Scooby-Doo shit where like one person goes in a door and the other person goes in and it's across the hallway and then other, you know.
Yeah, it has everyone. I do believe Ted Nugent is in one of the scenes. Fucking gross.
That's not Ted Nugent.
Really?
Really. I believe that's Wild Bill Hickok. You fucking idiot.
Prove it.
So when I said that, like the Scooby-Doo thing, though, are you saying, this isn't a ripoff?
I'm a fucking idiot. I know how to spell urgent. It's with an A.
Wait, what? I'm trying to tell you that Scooby-Doo came after this movie. Oh, another influence this movie had.
Lest I remind you.
Time machine. Wait, yes. That doesn't exist. That doesn't exist.
Oh, wow. We don't even have...
They have to go through the doors to find Ringo's pals so that they can help.
Mm-hmm.
Help. Please help me. And the first one is John. Or rather, they find a Frankenstein's monster. And he turns into John Lennon. Probably because he was a little bit of a Jekyll and Hyde thing about him. Also, he was... I think he wrote a book around this time. He was very well read. Books, you know, it was like a literature thing. I don't know. But he turns into John Lennon. And of course, young Fred gives him his spiel again, H is for hurry. And then, you know, the rest.
E is for urgent.
Mm-hmm. And next they go to find George Harrison. And because it's Sitar Day. Sitar Day. And George Harrison is just chilling. On, like, the top of a...
This movie is suggesting that John Lennon is Frankenstein and George is a cow-fucking-car thief who can't drive.
Okay. First of all...
Yeah?
It's Frankenstein's monster. Get okay. It right. Frankenstein was the doctor.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he wasn't stealing. He was borrowing his buddy's car.
What about the cow-fucking?
When was there cow fucking?
When it went in the door that he was in. There was he was like behind the cow.
No, he was not. He was standing on the top of a no. cliff thing and there was like crazy animation.
No, I've seen this movie a lot.
You are so wrong. And how dare you do that to George Harrison?
Yeah. John was like, hey, cow fucker.
Do you need assistance? He's like, nope, I don't.
I'm good.
Nope, I don't.
And the cow like, help with the, however you want to spell it.
See, he liked it. Then they find Paul, and shockingly, he is in a door with lots of applause.
Rude.
And he's performing on his piano, and they love him. And after that, they hop in the Yellow Submarine, and they make the trek back to Pepperland.
This movie looks like it was decorated by those Lisa Frank stickers from the 80s.
Oh, cool. Another thing that this movie influenced.
Ripped off from the 80s.
This movie is so influential. Oh my God. You know, seriously, there are people out there, you know, recognizable names that I just can't remember, that have said that there would not be South Park or The Simpsons or a lot of the animation without this. This was kind of a turning point away from Disney. It was kind of a big fucking deal. Oh, The Simpsons references Yellow Submarine quite a few times. I know they definitely do in the one where Homer is in the chili eating contest and he has like a trip. It's a psychedelic trip because the pepper's too hot and all I remember is that John Voight is the name of the fox that he sees. That's his, like, spirit animal.
It's a con.
Yeah, it is a con. This movie is going to be a psychedelic doozy, and that is the impression we're getting from this part. The first of our trippy, like, vignettes type thing that we see
mm-hmm.
is the song All Together Now.
Did I miss why they are shrinking?
That's later. Are you talking about turning to kids?
Yeah.
That's later.
Oh.
That's so all together now. All, oh, wait, I can't sing it. They all together now, all together now, all together now, all together now.
All together now.
And it ends with a bunch of bubbles and a guy is just known as the Derby Hat Man. You don't have anything to say about Derby Hat Man?
No.
Really? You had a lot to say when we were watching it.
I don't remember.
I can tell you who he is.
Who?
His name, most people think, is Ian, I think it's Cowan. Going off of memory. He's like one of the animators. He's just like a Scottish animator. I think he's actually one of the animators. That's correct.
I feel like you're just making stuff up.
No, no, no. I think he's one of the water cooler. Watercolor.
Uh-oh.
But that's, I thought for sure he was like a significant like political person or somebody in history. No, he's just a guy. But a lot of the director, the producers, a lot of the animators, they're in the movie throughout, just in different phases.
Speaking of tequila.
Oh, what?
We freeze our tequila.
Yeah.
Because we like it really cold.
Yeah, we do.
And the tequila we drink is that religion, the honey kind. And we couldn't get the top off. And on a cork, the lid.
What? No, I pulled the, because it's fucking frozen. Yeah. I went to screw that off and it disconnected from the cork. So it was just a tiny little bit of cork sticking out.
So after trying to use a wine opener, which didn't work.
It did not.
We're like, a normal person would be like, maybe I'll just move on and do something else. No, I used my fucking teeth to open.
I know. I got a bunch of pictures of it while you weren't looking. It looks like you were giving a blowy to the tequila bottle. It was incredible.
The shrinking kids, right?
After that, they end up in the Sea of Time. Huh. And the Beatles turn into kids. They start shrinking because it's the Sea of Time.
That doesn't make any sense. And I bet Lily Tomlin was pissed when she saw this.
Incredible Shrinking Woman, again, came out after this. The Incredible Shrinking Man, however, probably would have come out before. I think that's in the 50s, right? That's
a black and white movie. Oh, really?
But they're not getting into like teeny, teeny, like itty bitty, like 1-inch.
We don't know how Beatles. Big they are.
Yeah, we do. Perspective. They're we see them like holding on to like leave us because they're lever pullers.
Oh, Jesus. I legit hate when the ship goes through that guy's ears. Hate it.
Oh, my God. Speaking of which.
I hate that.
Speaking of which.
I don't like it.
I just got finished watching an old Survivor episode. One of the seasons. And it's like the first episode. The girl's having like super bad ear pain.
Because there's a fucking bug in her ear.
Yes.
Yes.
It's like a teeny tiny little worm. And yes. It's like, oh. Well, there's a nightmare on film.
It is blasphemy that when the Beatles aged forward, Ringo looks like Moses.
I love that when they age forward. Yeah, so they turn into kids, but they figure out that they just need to turn the clock backwards. But that goes like overboard and turns them into like, they get like, oh, white beards and, you know.
But then they're like, oh shit, we keep aging rapidly. What should we do to figure this out? Sing a song, gotcha.
Well, he says find a button or something. And yeah, it leads them to when I'm 64. Da-da-da-da-da. I think I can do that. That's fine. I like it when Fred goes past him into the do-do-do-do-do
dance. Am I to believe that Ringo figured out the Sea of Science?
Well, hold on. The song of When I'm 64 ends with a kiss. Aww.
I don't remember that.
And then immediately after that is the Sea of Science. Mm-hmm. And another song. It's only a northern song.
What? I don't even know what to say about this scene with the radio waves and floating heads with the flappy ears.
I didn't love it. It was my least favorite part when I was a kid.
I distinctly don't remember a trigger warning for people with epilepsy. And a million people probably watched this movie and are still having seizures to this day because of it. And not eating apples.
You think that's connected?
Yeah.
Apples and epilepsy?
the apples from the beginning that were bonking everybody. And kids were like, no way.
Swear to God, if I have a band, my first album is going to be called Apples and Epilepsy.
You would.
Yeah, I would. It's my band, Troy's Bucket. Then they end up, the Beatles, that is, mm-hmm. and Young Fred.
Young Fred.
End up, well, no, sorry. First, a monster ends up in the submarine.
Oh, the elephant that they were horrible to? That poor purple elephant?
They weren't nice.
And then they kicked him off the submarine. You know what?
What?
I bet this is where the idea for Barney was originated.
Again, another influence. Yay for this movie.
Barney.
A lot of monsters came out of, the, you know, were inspired by this.
Yeah, like the Beatles.
Probably even that, the Little Monsters movie with Fred Savage.
How dare you?
And
Howie Mandel?
Howie Mandel, yeah.
Stop it. Stop.
They go through the sea of monsters. And then they meet a monster that I just like to call the Katrina monster. Any idea why?
Oh, are you talking about Miss Popular at parties with a suction cup as a mouth?
Mm-hmm.
Who's just wandering around? And the ladies who don't swallow are just standing there with their candy cane arms? Are like, sure, she can suck a golf ball through a water hose, but I guarantee her spaghetti sauce comes from a jar.
Where is this coming from? This seems super specific.
No.
Oh.
Just imagining.
Also, you wouldn't have spaghetti sauce from a jar. You make your own. Very good.
Thanks.
You make a very delicious bolognese.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And your rosemary bread is the fucking shit.
Thanks. And I can suck a golf ball through a garden hose.
I'm just kidding. No. Yeah. Ringo accidentally gets ejected from the sub because he pressed the wrong button. And then they have to rescue Ringo. But uh-oh, here comes that Katrina monster again. And that monster just can't help but sucking things up. And the monster sucks up him or herself, I guess. I don't know what the monster's gender is. And then they end up with nothing. Like nothing, nothing.
Wait.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah. Ringo's friends are not good friends. Like, I don't miss Ringo.
Did they or did they not save him?
They said they didn't miss him. They're like, oh, peace out, bitch. And I don't like that punching bag thing with the clown face at all.
Well, he gets his. He gets got. They give him a trick cigar.
You went past this real fast, so that tells me that we're at the part of the movie where the whiteys are killing the Indians.
Oh, yeah, I did skip over that.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the 60s were a weird time, especially in animation. There was lots of racist cartoons and stuff like that. Like, racism was just kind of, you know, this was before we kind of figured out that that shit is definitely not okay.
Oh, you mean like now when we've got things figured anyway?
Yeah, we've definitely got shit figured out now. For sure.
Can you explain the little guy with the kabuki mask?
The kabuki mask guy. Oh, yeah. Well, they end up in nothing. Mm-hmm. It's just white is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And in the nothing, they find a curious creature and they ask him his name. And he gives them some cards. And the names on the cards are, one of them is Jeremy. And then Hillary.
Boob.
And then Boob. And then Food, which is PhD. Which I thought was a really cute joke.
Hmm.
But they just call him a nowhere man. And that, of course, leads them into the next song, which is La Bamba.
Well, of course. Nowhere Man is a bummer of a song. Make us laugh, Paul.
No. No laughs to be had. Although, isn't that a John song?
Probably. It's a real downer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, and it's very, like, it is very message heavy. So who knows? That could have been Paul.
Well, it doesn't have a point of view as real rich when the guys singing it are walking backwards while our flying fish is chasing them.
Yeah. What an amazing point of view. They went forwards and backwards. That seems like people that are trying to see the world around them in a new way. That's what, you know what, this should inspire us all.
No, this movie basically just sings songs that makes people feel shit about themselves.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, it's like that time I watched that docuseries about the supermodels.
Which one?
The one about the rise of the supermodels.
I didn't watch it.
About Cindy Crawford and Linda Evangelista and Naomi Campbell. Yeah, watch that and feel good about yourself. I don't think so. It's like listening to songs in this movie.
Fuck, joke's on you. I never feel good about myself. That's not true. I love me. They invite Jeremy, Hillary Boob, food, to come with them and on with their journey. But the submarine putters out and they have no fucking clue where they are. And then Jeremy tries to help fix the submarine, but it ends up leaving them stranded, which leads them into a very awesome part with great animation. It's Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
John wandered away from the group during this LSD song. Foreshadowing.
No shit. Wasn't he doing heroin in the documentary?
Yeah.
Or like, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty clear. They were all on.
Don't sue us.
quite a few drugs. We all saw it. Okay. It's just a speculation. So it's not libel.
At the advice of our attorneys.
Is it libel if it's libel if it's written?
Right.
Okay. You'd think the American attorney would know this shit, but I do not.
I think the songs distract from the movie.
Do you? Do you now? I want you to say that again into the microphone with a straight face.
I think the songs distract from the movie, obviously.
This movie about the Beatles.
Right. What else you got?
This musical movie about the Beatles. Literally every movie that the Beatles did had music in it.
Yeah, if they want to be one note.
Oh my God. You look so fucking proud. You were doing like the Daisy Duck dance there. The one finger up. I don't think so. They wanted every scene to be a completely different style of art.
Then how because does the movie get any flow if every scene is different?
Well, they couldn't do that because it wouldn't, I mean, it would have made even, you know, less sense as far as like a linear,
you know. Whoa. There's literally no way this movie could make less sense.
Sure it could.
Yeah. And I don't like all these dots.
Oh, I love them. Mm-mm. Oh, wait, we're not there yet.
Oh.
Did I mention who does the score to this?
Was it John Williams? Is it Randy Newman? Is it Philip Glass?
Neil, the submarine is going off into the sea of monsters. Man, that Randy Newman just singing about what he sees.
Yep.
No, it's a. George.
George.
Jones. George. Newman. Martin. Actually, I think that is right.
That's the guy who wrote Game of Thrones.
No, that's George R. R. Martin.
Right, this was before he got the R's.
Another influence. Fuck, I can't remember, and I definitely know this. I just, you know, tequila. Well, that guy.
Yeah.
He did the score. How about that?
Hmm.
After that is the Sea of Holes. You usually love holes.
Speaking about this movie and personally, I think it's rude to ask someone about their holes.
We do it all the time, don't we?
Well, but not to their face.
No, not to their face.
God, we're not monsters.
I can't help but notice that all the guys just keep putting stuff in all the holes. Like they get into a sea of holes and they're like, we can put anything in these holes, really.
Hmm.
Anything.
And this is where Mr. Boob gets lost.
Yeah, he does. I love it. They ask him how many holes there are, and he says, enough to fill the Albert Hall. That was cool.
No.
It's just another Beatles song reference. But there, Jeremy is kidnapped by a sneaky blue meanie.
Why do you keep calling him Jeremy? His name's Boob.
Well, that's one of his names. Mm. And the guys find a hole that leads them to the Sea of Green. See, oh, I can't sing it. Sea of Green. Sea of Green. Sea of Green. They say that. They
in say a it. Sea of green.
Dude.
We all float in a sea of green.
I hope you don't like this beautiful bedroom.
Don't take my TV.
Not the TV. Take my arms, but not my TV.
Where am I going to watch my stories?
Where am I going to watch my wheel?
What wheel stories?
And watch people buy a hutch.
And press their luck.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, that was good. Well, the Sea of Green leads them to Pepperland. Yes.
And Ringo manages to take a hole from the Sea of Holes. Boy, I wonder if that will come in handy. It's like Chekhov's hole.
Something else they stole.
Chekhov's hole?
Yes. Those apples look like they would make you shit yourself for days.
Yeah, you don't want the green apple splatters. No. Mm-mm. Yuck. But it, like I said, it was based on art. You love art a lot. I mean, like I said, this movie is filled with, if you're an art lover, and that's not weird, but if you're an art lover, you will love this. If you love the Beatles, if you even like the Beatles music and love art, you'll love this movie. It is filled with pop art and stuff that's really influential and very important. Mm-hmm. You don't think? Mm-mm. You love art.
My I do.
God, you have so much fucking art in your house. You can't even hang up all of the art.
Sorry, peasant.
You have to keep it in your art cave.
I don't know. Art cave. I don't have a fucking house right now. What are you talking about?
Yeah, says you. I'm still not convinced that you don't have like a bat cave type thing, but it's for art.
Art.
Hopefully you have like a railing unlike the bat cave. I know.
That was so...
It still makes me
Jesus.
Real antsy in the pantsy. The guys, once they get to Pepperland, meet up with young Fred and the Lord Mayor, and they find out that the guys... Well, the Lord Mayor and young Fred are like, holy shit, you guys look exactly like our band that we've got here called Sergeant Pepper. You look exactly like them. You're basically them. You'll do. You'll blend. And they find the band's costumes and instruments, and they lead an attack against the Blue Meanies, mostly with music. What? Whoa. What Whoa. Now?
The shark stomach guy just molested that lady's face. It was like, nom, 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 nom.
Not her face. He ate the pinwheel, the little toy pinwheel that she had.
No. No. And then it was like, yes. Don't worry, lady, if that wasn't traumatizing enough for you, a floating finger is getting ready to...
Finger you?
Right. Not... In the right way.
Nobody wants that.
No.
Mm-mm. Nobody wants a floating finger that fingers them.
No. This movie's awful.
Yeah, especially if you're gray, because that means you probably don't have enough vitamin D.
Right. You feel kind of sallow.
And blue.
Feel a little blue.
Like a Blue Meanies?
No.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah-huh. They... And that means the guys even have a face-off with the glove, which, of course, leads to the song Hotline Bling.
There are a few things in the history of terror that are worse than a clown screaming.
Oh, my God, that fucking clown. No, okay, so there's All You Need Is Love is the song that it leads to. Not Hotline Bling. Which is sung by John for some reason? I'm not quite sure. They even says... You know, Billy Shears.
Wait, what in the clown car hell is a Bloober? They mentioned Bloober before the All You Need Is Love song.
Those are his Bloobers are like his troops as a whole. Like not specifically, not like the clowns so. And not like the Turks and the, I can't remember the other ones, my brain. But all of those guys, that's what he wants. And Ringo sings that song, but it's John in this. And then Jeremy does, wait, there's also Hey Bulldog is in this song.
Yeah, first of all, I think.
Or is in this movie.
I think saying All You Need Is Love is oversimplifying things and suggesting that it's easy or easy.
Yeah, dude.
Tells me that none of these people were married at the writing of this song.
No, didn't remember. I said John just met Yoko and Paul had just met Linda. Ringo would have already been married maybe at that point. And George was doing all kinds. I mean, was he with Mary and Faithful? Does that sound right? Sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But they were getting like, this was the 60s. All You Need Is Love was kind of a thing.
Well, I don't appreciate the dogs playing that piano.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So here's the thing with that. There were, I think they had four songs. I think that might have been a requirement from United Artists that they had to, that the guys had to be in it and that there had to be, I think, four new songs. So they picked songs that were kind of on the chopping block from a previous album that they just were like, meh. And one of them was, I believe it's only a Northern song, which has the trippy, you know, what did we say, the epilepsy, you know, one. And Hey Bulldog is one. I just can't remember the other two off the top of my head. But the Hey Bulldog was only released in the UK version, I think. Mm. Because that's not what we didn't right. see that.
We didn't see that when we were kids.
No, not right. until like they released a DVD.
Right. DVD.
DVD years and years later. Which I think it works just fine. It's just, I'm just not used to it, I guess.
My dog still runs into screen doors. I can't imagine her playing an instrument.
Well, she's not, but there's a lot of dogs that can do special things that Leia can't do.
She's right there.
She's asleep. She was snoring like a second ago.
I know. Oh, I love it when she snores. It's so different than when my husband snores.
Jeremy, or Boob, as you call him, he's doing all kinds of work. And he's really kicking some ass in this. And he puts fucking roses all over the head. Blue Meanie. What now?
No.
What now?
Go back to that dog song.
I'd rather not.
Did they use the word wigwam to rhyme?
Yeah, it's an odd line. That's probably why it wasn't used, because it's like wigwam, frightened of the dark, maybe. It's very odd. But I think in that documentary, I think they said something about that lyrics are, sometimes they're significant and sometimes they're just like, we're just filling, you know, the space of like what sounds right.
They were just lazy shit right there.
It was very beat. It feels very like beat poetry almost, where it's like, it's just absurd.
Right, but if they were going to use that, why couldn't they say, wigwam, I love me toast and jam?
That seems even more racist.
It does.
I love me toast and jam.
Okay.
Yikes.
No. They could have said, wigwam, I like crumpets and jam.
Well, they didn't, they weren't rhyming it at all. They were saying, you know, frightened of the dark, because dark is the one that rhymes with something else. So they could have used anything besides wigwam. I think that's actually the one that, it's not the rest of the lyric that's the problem. It's the wigwam.
All the lyric are the problem.
But you're keeping in the really problematic one.
Right.
And just changing out the other stuff that's fine. Frightened of the dark. I mean, nobody wants to be frightened of the dark, but it's a common fear.
And how are we supposed to take this head meanie seriously with a rose on his nose?
Yeah, Jeremy did that. He gives him a rosy nose and then puts them all over him. But that makes him nice. See how he smells like roses. Oh, like President Snow in the Hunger Games. He smells like roses. Ugh. We forgot about the roses. We forgot about the roses. The meanies admit defeat and they join forces, and now they don't say no anymore. Now he likes yes. And that's a happy ending. And that's the end of the animation part of the movie.
And then these lazy asses show up right at the end of the movie, which, I'm being dead serious right now, I think was weird.
It is weird. They, like I said, they didn't want to be part of it, but they were, this was, you know what this was? Seriously. I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Oh, Marshawn Lynch?
Yes, that's what this was. They had to do this contractually. They did not want to do this bit. They were tired. They were grumpy. They were, you know, obviously, like I said earlier, they had quite a year going on. So they didn't want to do this. They were just about, I think this is when they were just about to leave to go to India. So They were like, let's just do whatever. Originally, it was going to have more of a psychedelic-y. They wanted to do like a backdrop and all of that, but no more money. No more time.
What you say is they stole from Marshawn Lynch. There's nothing original in this movie at all. It's just all stealing from the future.
I don't think so.
I don't think that that's a true thing, because that's time travel is not real.
Oh, I wonder where Finn gets his flat earther ideas from.
YouTube. Idiots. You know what? I'm
idiots. Yeah, come at us.
We hear it. Fucking what happens. Idiots. Believe in a globe. Right.
Just, come on. We're not the podcast for you.
Jesus Christ. Idiots.
And we're dumb as shit.
Yeah, we're idiots. And we know that it's not flat. That's dumb.
Right.
Dumb, 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 dumb.
Dumb, dumb.
You know what else?
What?
This is the end of the movie.
It's done. Yes. It's over now.
Yeah, how did you not get a fucking button push?
I made it.
Oh, I feel like I should have been trying to trick you, but it's just been, we're rusty, you know? We haven't recorded in a second. Fuck.
Help me.
This was so much fun. I love this movie.
This movie's hysterical.
I'm not kidding. It's like 97 or 98 on Rotten Tomatoes.
It is crazy in the best way possible. It is nuts.
Like I said, it's the Meow Wolf of...
Yes.
If you guys don't know what Meow... Just look up Meow Wolf. Yes.
That's a perfect description of this movie.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Both of us. I mean, we're just quote it.
The hills are alive.
With the sound of music. I think we can get away with that because it's not theirs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I can put any clips in this one. Sorry, guys. I would love to, but I don't think I can. I don't want to take that chance.
Yeah.
I want to hear your happy ending.
Okay, so I really went back and forth on this because I think my happy ending is going to be boring to people.
What?
Uh-uh. Yeah, I kind of think so. But because March is social work month... And I'm a social worker.
Hey.
I chose to talk about Jane Addams, who was the first social worker and an overall badass Virgo.
What? Tell me more.
Jane Addams, man. She's fucking bad. Okay, she was born in 1860 in Chicago to a super rich family. And while she was traveling to Europe, she visited a settlement house in the Whitechapel district.
Oh, shit.
Right.
Oh, my. Right. Wait, when was this? 1800?
She traveled there in the 1880s. So it was obviously, people know this because it was where Jack the Ripper got real stabby.
Yeah, he was too much.
He got too stabby. Mm-hmm. Right. After she returned to Chicago, she and a classmate went to a working class immigrant district, and they acquired a large vacant residence built by Charles Hole, who was like a big architect. And they created what became known as the Hole House. And it eventually...
Wait, I'm sorry?
The Hole, H-U-L-L, Hole.
Oh, I thought we were talking about more holes.
Nope, different hole.
Okay.
It included 13 buildings and a playground. It had a nursery, a gym, a community kitchen, a boarding house. It offered college-level courses in various subjects.
What?
I mean, it's how social work was started. They sponsored one of the earliest theater groups. They did cultural opportunities for the largely immigrant population in the neighborhood. It was also a breeding ground for social workers to come there and work and be immersed in this world that was all about helping people. And it had the first juvenile court law, tenement house regulation, factory inspections, workers' comp. All of that came from this person, this idea of Jane Addams, who had nothing but money and she just wanted to make a difference in the world. And it was just, she was big on social justice for immigrants. That was a big thing of hers. She was big on women's suffrage. In 1910, she became the first woman president of the National Conference of Social Work, which is a big deal for social workers now. She was a huge part of Teddy Roosevelt's Progressive Party. Oh God, I love him. And in 1931, she co-won, don't get me started, the Nobel Prize for Peace.
No shit.
Yeah, probably because they wouldn't just fucking give it to her.
That is so cool.
Yeah. So Jane Addams is like I guess, like a hero of mine. And
well, she should be.
Yeah.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah, she was awesome.
And when you say, like, she had, you know, nothing but, you know, she had nothing but money, it's a funny way to say it because this was, you know, I mean, this probably goes in now, certainly, but at that time, she didn't have to do anything with her life. Like, no. I mean, she, you know, having money at that time, she was definitely expected to not do anything with her life, I imagine. I mean, that's that really wouldn't have been encouraged.
Right. But when she went to Europe in that Whitechapel district, there was something similar there. And she was like, holy shit, I want to take that back to Chicago and recreate that in the United States. And that's what she did. And it was, I mean, it's huge.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Wait, H.H. Holmes, that had to have been pretty close to this time, right?
The World's Fair.
Yeah, because I thought it was around the same time as the Whitechapel stuff.
Gosh, I don't remember.
It's the late 1800s. I'll have to check.
If you are a person that likes nonfiction books, read Eric Larson. All of his books are written like fiction, but he wrote The Devil in the White City, which is about H.H. Holmes, which is a fucking crazy story.
Oh my God.
So good.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's my happy ending.
Oh, that's so great. I'm so glad to be back.
Me too.
This is so much fun.
I had a blast. I knew this was going to be fun, though.
I don't know if we're going to say what the next one's going to be because...
We're going back and forth on it.
Yeah. So this one's going to be a surprise, but we'll see if we can't maybe hint at something before we release it.
When we decide.
Yeah.
We'll go back old school and see if we can hint and have someone figure it out.
Oh, that would be cool.
That was like our early Instagram days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be fun. I'm going to go finish the rest of my Calamocho because I'm on the Calamocho train right now.
Toot toot.
You going to finish your mark?
Yeah.
Well, until next time.
Bye, Ola Serene.
Bye, Katrina Porter. Bye, everyone.
Bye.